So just a little background about the history of the cotton boll weevil, as I'm sure all of you are familiar with. Anthonomus grandis is a pest of cotton that is indigenous to Central America and to Mexico, and it entered Texas in the late 1800s. Since its introduction, it caused $13 billion worth of damage, roughly $300 million per year, and it was one of the worst agricultural pests in American history. And it made cotton a very pesticide-dependent crop. This was all up until the boll weevil eradication program, which was a 1978 USDA effort, which was organized in response to increasing pesticide resistance. So the boll weevil was developing resistance to pesticides, and so they had to come up with a new way of controlling this pest. And it was a huge IPM success. They used a combination of newer traps, natural enemies, and also some just better practices, and some limited spraying as well to overcome the boll weevil. So that raises the question, why am I talking to you about the boll weevil today? Well, the truth is that the cotton boll weevil remains a major concern in southern Texas, and there's a few reasons for that. One, it is a favorable climate for Anthonomus grandis. It never really gets very, very cold in that region, and it's very similar to their native habitat. There's host plants that they can overwinter on besides the cotton, as well as wild cotton. Furthermore, there are frequent reintroductions from northern Mexico, and control discrepancies across that border make it difficult for us to prevent those reintroductions. Furthermore, there are multiple morphological variants and also morphologically similar species of weevil that are very difficult to distinguish from the boll weevil, which can lead to some confusion when trying to put together control efforts. So we felt that there was a need for a modern molecular tool that would be able to distinguish populations of the boll weevil and also to distinguish the boll weevil from closely related species, the morphologically similar species, and also that would allow us to, from those markers, infer gene flow and movement of the boll weevil. So with the advent of next-generation sequencing, we have the ability to now generate markers that will improve our diagnostic capability, as well as improve our management by allowing us to distinguish between these weevil variants and the closely related species and between populations. And it'll also help us resolve population genomic structure and the patterns of movement and patterns of gene flow of these organisms so that we can prioritize populations for control. Furthermore, it'll allow us to identify source populations when reintroductions do occur. So the objectives of my dissertation are to sequence and assemble the cotton boll weevil genome, resolve the population genomic structure of Anthonomus grandis in northern Mexico, and from that structure infer movement and dispersal of the weevil in northern Mexico and southern Texas, and then down the line generate some additional markers that will be useful to the industry. And right now we're just sampling northern Mexico, but I would eventually want to expand my sampling range to the entirety of the boll weevil's range so that we have as much data for these types of analysis as possible. So currently we have weevils from four major growing regions, Sonora, Chihuahua, Durango, and Tamaulipas. And the work that we are focusing on right now focuses on Tamaulipas, but we are working on samples from these populations as we can. So we have these four populations. The yellow pins are the actual sites that we collected from. And we don't know is how these populations are all related. Are these all distinct populations, all with their own genotype? Or is there movement between all of these populations, making it one large pan-mixed population with gene flow? Furthermore, there's an alternative that there's something like a source sink dynamic going on where you have one population that serves as the source of migrants to all of these other populations. But like I said, we don't know any of this currently. And furthermore, when a reintroduction occurs on the US side of the border, where did it come from? So this is a introduction from a few years back, I believe 2012, that we have weevils from. And geographically, you might hypothesize that it could have come from this Tamaulipas area. But we simply don't know that, and we don't know how it relates to these other populations as well. So the approach I wanted to take to kind of solve these questions is a population genomics approach. So essentially you have sequence fragments that you align to a genome, and then you, from those fragments you can find single nucleotide polymorphism sites that will be diagnostic for different populations. Then you can use those markers to do retroactive assignment tests, which is what this is showing here. This is not actual data, this is a hypothetical, but you can see that the colors represent the likelihood of that individual coming from that population. And that's what we aim to do with the Bowie Bowl. So the first step of this is to sequence the genome, which I'm happy to say has been completed. And don't all applaud at once. So ideally when you're doing genome sequencing, you want to have an inbred line. However, that's not going to happen with the boll weevil. So we sequence a single individual weevil on one lane of Illumina MiSeq. It generated over 160 gigabytes of raw data, and I assembled it using software called Assembly by Short Sequence. This is an assembly parameter here. K is 63. It's like they call it the word size. And then this here is a measure of how good our assembly is. Ideally, we'd like to get that number up to around 10,000 or more, and we're currently working on ways to do that. And we've generated 621.8 million base pairs of data, which is roughly 74% of the previously estimated genome size. And that may seem like we're missing 26%, but there are regions of the genome that are very difficult to sequence. So we're actually pretty happy about that. Okay, so that's how I generated this first part here, the kind of reference genome that we're going to assemble our population markers to. The next part is to generate these fragments that are going to have the polymorphic sites. So to do this, we are taking a what's called a double digest RAD-seq approach. It's called double digest because you use two restriction enzymes to chop up the genome, and then you sequence the base pairs from that site. So the advantage of this approach is that it's very, very reproducible. Any boll weevil you collect, you would hit it with those same two enzymes and you would get the same markers every time. It's a very reliable, repeatable way to generate markers. And then it's sequenced on Illumina MiSeq, and we're doing this at the Texas A&M AgriLife Genomics and Bioinformatics Service. They've been very, very helpful. And we're initially right now aiming to do 30 individuals per population on two lanes, which will give us about 100x coverage for every site. And I actually had, during James's talk, I found out that we actually got our first lane of data back today. So catch me at the Brazil conference and I'll have the data from that for you. To analyze this data, I'm going to be using a software called STAX, which is it actually pulls out those SNPs from the sequence data and then is put into... you can generate some statistics, summary statistics about the populations, and then you can also put it into structure, which is what created, that's the program that creates this type of assignment. So the advantage to doing it this way is that it's very, very reproducible and you don't have to do it all at once. Anytime there's a new weevil that's discovered and you want to know where it comes from, you can take this approach and you can find those markers as long as you use the same two enzymes, and you'll be able to make those assignment tests. And what we would eventually like to do, because this is, not cheap, and so for one weevil or a small but number of weevils that's been collected, it may not be practical to really do this every time. So we can use this data to find where the most informative sites are, and then we can develop markers that could be more useful to the industry. So those primers will be able to... identify the population of origin for new infestations, and these markers will also be developed for closely related species and variants, so we'll be able to compare those markers to those other variants and be able to differentiate the boll weevil from those variants and other species as well. So as far as progress, as I said, we have sequenced and assembled the cotton boll weevil genome. We're working on improving that, but it is an available resource. And we are currently working on resolving the population genomic structure of A. grandis in northern Mexico. And like I said, we just received some of that data today. So I'm really excited to take a look at that when we get back. And then this will be, these other three will be done over the course of the next couple of years. Current applications of this, it's going to be, it is a reliable way to detect cotton boll weevil versus non-pest variants in closely related species. And like I said, that's because of the repeatability of generating those markers. And it will help us guide downstream management strategies. Once we find the structure and infer those patterns of movement, we'll be able to more accurately find populations of interest or populations that need control to prevent further reintroductions or further spread of the organism. And like I said, there's now a genomic resource that exists that can be used for any further genomic type work. So what I would like to do in the future is increase sampling of populations, specifically South American populations, but also get a much denser sampling across Mexico as well and into South America. And this is simply just to increase our knowledge of the genetic diversity across the entire range of the weevil. Because if you find a weevil that isn't from one of those four regions, we don't know where it came from. So for this to be really effective, we need to sample all of its range. Like I said, additional sequencing and annotation to improve the genome assembly, and that will allow us to identify regions of the genome that might be under selection, which is really what I want to do down the line. It's very interesting to me. Specifically, we could see if you have a pesticide-resistant population versus a non-pesticide-resistant population, we could then maybe see what genes are under selection between those two populations. With that, I'd like to thank my funding sources, USDA APHIS and the Cotton Foundation, as well as acknowledge all the members of my lab, one of my committee members, Ho-Jun Song, and one of my collaborators, Trevor Steele, who helped me with a lot of bioinformatics. With that, I'll take any questions.
Are you working on the eradication program in Texas currently?
I'm not officially associated with the eradication program, but one thing I would like to do over the next year or two here is actually set up some sort of system where people can send me weevils if they find them so that I can do some of the work and expand my sampling. That would be ideal for me. Thank you.
Time for another question or two. I'm just curious, yeah. How long does it take to sequence a genome nowadays?
Well, it depends on a few different factors. So since we're not doing the sequencing in-house, and we don't, when you run an Illumina run, there's 8 lanes, and like I said, we only used 1 lane. So if the other 7 lanes are being filled by other projects at the sequencing center and we fill that last lane, it could be done in a week. But if we're the first lane of the next run, it could be months before they fill that plate up to run it. So it's fairly variable. But once it's actually running, it only takes about a week. And the assembly, once you know what you're doing, takes about a week as well. Yes, sir?
Have you found any differences between the populations in the four areas of Mexico?
That's the data we just got today. So if you come to the
conference,
oh really? Well, great. Thank you. I appreciate that. And that's data I'll be presenting in the World Cotton Research Conference. I'll have that data then. All right. Thank you.